Let us be glad. Let us be glad. Don't we have something to be glad about? I do. I mean, last Thursday I went through a heart procedure. Got a loop recorder put in. This past Friday, 2 days, 3 days ago, they went in. What'd they do? Oh yeah, they did the Watchman thing in my heart. I've been having some heart issues, you know, and I've been passing out. You know, if I'm in a Pentecostal church preaching and I pass out, it's no big deal. They think I'm slain in the spirit. But if I'm in a Baptist church, they're going to cast the devil out. You know, so you just never know. You never know. But I am thankful for God for everything I go through because He brings me out. He brings me out. I was asked to speak on Psalms 67. Psalm 67. So let me ask you a question. Every day, think about this, every day, over 90 million people turn this thing on their self and take a selfie. How many of you have done that? Put your hand up, don't lie in church. Okay, thank you. Yeah, 90 million, now, and I did a little research too. Do you know how many people live in the state of Georgia? 10.3 million. 10.3 million live in the state of Georgia. Now, 90 million every day, that's a lot of people taking a selfie. They want to be seen. They want to be liked by somebody. Everybody wants somebody to like them, you know. Let me take a selfie right there. And they want to be remembered. Remember me. Unfortunately, sadly to say, through the end of 2024, there have been over 480 selfie-related deaths across the country. One example was in Arizona, when a 21-year-old man was trying to take a selfie and he backed off of a cliff trying to get a picture of him in the back. In the backdrop of the city skylight at night. Backed off the cliff and died. Horrible. Trying to take that selfie. Trying to do things like that. Psalm 67, though, when I began to read it and I began to study on it, it challenges us. It challenges us to stop living selfie-centered lives. But it encourages us to live Savior-centered lives as disciples of Christ. I wonder how many of us really do that when you really break it down. How many of us really live Savior-centered lives? So let's read Psalms 67. I think you should have a handout or something like that if you want to look that. If you got your Bibles, you can turn. Psalm 67. And it says, God be merciful to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. Selah. Got to remember that. Selah. That Your way may be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For You shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on the earth. Selah. Remember that. Let the people praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. Father, I come before You. Holy Spirit, just move. Inhabit this place. Move on our hearts. Speak in and through me. Father, I pray that I would not say anything that doesn't come from heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Here are some observations of this psalm. The word blessed is used three times in verses 1, 6, and 7. The words peoples, nations, and earth are used 12 times, making this a missionary psalm. The word all is used in verse 2. All nations in verse 3 and 5. And the phrase all the peoples and all the ends of the earth in verse 7. The word Selah, remember I said you need to remember that, is used twice. What the word Selah means is to pause, ponder, and then pivot. Pause, ponder, and pivot. In other words, stop what you're doing, think about what you're doing, and get back on track if you're on the wrong track. Pause, ponder, and pivot. Key here is that God blesses His people not so we can herald His goodness, but so that we can not so we can hoard His goodness, but so we can herald His glory among the nations. We are called to be conduits. I'm a conduit. I love preaching. It gives me more joy than anything else that I can think of. I love ministering to people. I love just talking to somebody about the Lord. And that's a conduit. That's the reason we're still here. If God didn't want us to do something, we'd be on in heaven, right? So don't worry about your condition. Worry about what you're doing. I mean, you may be hurting. Somebody else is hurting too. If somebody else is hurting, you can say, hey, listen, I've been where you at. You know what? God will get you through it. And He will. He will. We're supposed to be conduits. We're supposed to show God's love, His grace, and His mercy. We are designed to be rivers, not reservoirs. Because God desires God desires to use you and me to spread His gospel. Wherever we go, if we're in Walmart, I'll tell you a story. About a month ago, I went to Walmart. Kay was wanted me to pick up a cake mix, and I couldn't find it. I looked, you know, and I'm a pretty good shopper. I shop all the time. But I could not find this specific cake mix that she wanted in Walmart. And there was a lady coming. She just picked up one right there. She said, sir, can I help you? And I showed her, okay, my wife always takes a picture of the stuff that she wants me to get so I get the right thing, you know. And so anyway, I pull my phone, you know what I'm talking about, right? And so I pull my phone out and I said, this is what I'm looking for. And so she got to looking for that. She said, it should be right here. But they had put it in the wrong place. But anyway, she found it for me. And all of a sudden something prompted me to ask her if she was okay. And I don't know what, the Holy Spirit. And I said, thank you. I said, are you okay? She looked kind of sad. And then all of a sudden, she just started crying. Right there in the middle of Walmart. And I said, what's wrong? And so she began to tell me that a really close relative was dying. And she was going to have a thing for it, but nobody in the church cared anything about this person. And so she was just heartbroken. And so right there in the middle of Walmart, I said, can I pray with you? Can I pray with you? And so I put my hands on her, and I just began to pray for that God would give her peace and comfort and not worry about what anybody else thinks. Just do what God has told her to do. We can't be afraid to minister in public. I think we've got to that point where, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to offend anybody. If you read this book, Jesus didn't mind offending folks. He didn't mind calling people out either. We got to be conduits. I was going to bring a bucket and talk about, you know, we always pray these prayers. God bless me. God give me this. God give me that. God do this for me. God do, you know what I'm talking about? And that's a bucket of blessings. And God would kind of put His blessings in there. And then we just shut the bucket up and sit on it. But you know something? God doesn't bless us for us to hold on to that blessing. God blesses us to bless other people. In other words, if you got a bucket of blessings that's been right there, it's going to spoil. You put water in a bucket, cover it up, come back in 4 or 5 days, that water's not very good. It's the same thing with God's blessing. We got to pour that bucket out continuously. And here's the thing. The more you pour that bucket out, the more God will fill it up. The more you give it out, the more you give out of yourself that God's given to you, the more God will give to you. Are we doing that? But this is a prayer for God's blessing. This psalm is a prayer for God's blessing. A threefold request. It says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us. Selah, pause, ponder, and pivot. Be gracious. It's undeserved favor. Receiving God's compassion and kindness, not because I deserve it or I earn it, because I tell you what, I don't want what I deserve. I don't want what I've earned. I want God's grace. I want His compassion and His mercy because He gives it to us because He loves us. He went to the cross knowing who I was before I gave my life to Him. He went to the cross loving Robert Williams, the drunk, the addict, the adulterer, the thief, the liar. He went to the cross loving me. That's the grace that He gives us. Doesn't matter who you are, what your background is, what you've gone through, God still loves you. Then ask God to bless us by providing His peace, His protection, His provision. Man, I've experienced that. Before I started pastoring, I was a missionary for 10 years. I led teams all over the world. I think I've led 39, 40 teams to different parts of the world. And I loved it. I thought that was going to be what I was going to do forever and ever. And then all of a sudden, God put this thing, I want you to pastor. And my wife said, no way. And so that little church in Cedartown called us, and we went over there, and they wanted to install me almost immediately. And I was excited. You know, I was young. I mean, this was a church. They had a building with pews and a stage. And I mean, they were set up. And my wife said, nope. She said, and we got $3, and they were young. She said, we're not uprooting them. She says, if you want a pastor, you'll do it right here. So I planted a church right there. Stayed there for 17 years. I mean, we went from here to there. We had services in the park. Remember that? Where we would take our equipment, take the drums and stuff out there and put it in the park. And we would play and invite all. We'd walk around and invite everybody out in that park to come to the service. Ask God to make His face to shine upon us. The word shine means to light up with a smile. Light up with a smile. Why in the world do we walk around with a frown when God has blessed us so much? I mean, when people walk in, they ought to say, man, this is the most friendliest church I've ever been at. I mean, look at everybody smiling, happy, and joyful. Numbers says this. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. This is what Moses had told Aaron and his sons to do for a benediction. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And give you peace. We should have peace with the Lord. Amen. Shouldn't worry about anything. Shouldn't worry about anything. The only thing I worry about is my family. When I'm going through situations, and I've gone through quite a bit, the only thing I worry about is my 3 daughters, my grandkids, and my wife. I said, Lord, and I keep telling the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm good going home. But I said, I'd rather stay here for a while. I said, and we kind of got that, you know, I had some heart issues, and that's the reason we moved back down here. And then we got a little place, and we was fixing it up. And I said, Lord, I said, and I passed out. I'm going, Lord, I said, I don't know if you're trying to give me some things. I said, but please don't take me until I get this thing fixed up for my wife. You know, I don't want anybody else to come here. And it's fixed up. So now I changed my thing. I said, Lord. I said, Lord, it's fixed up now. I said, you know what? I said, I don't think you're done with me. I don't think you're done with me. I said, so give me an opportunity to minister some more. I mean, I got 35 years behind my belt. I said, you know, maybe I can help somebody, you know. But, you know, anyway, I changed. And let me ask you a question. Do you see God smiling on you? Do you see Him smiling on you? Or is He scowling at you? Is He frowning at you because you're not doing what He wants you to do? I want Him to smile at me. That's what I want. I want Him to smile at me. Zephaniah says this, the Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. Oh man, I love this last part. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. What is God singing about you? What is He singing about you? He said, oh, look at my Robert go. Look at my Robert go. What's He singing about you? Or is He going, oh, no. Oh, no. He ain't doing nothing for me. So what's He singing about you? What are you doing for Him? We also see the promise of God among the nations. They're like bookends. In verse 3 it says, let the people praise you. And in verse 5 it says, oh, let all the people praise you. Like bookends. Let the people praise you and then let all the people praise you. And the people or peoples means nations, ethnic groups, tribes. And they're, guess what? They're all different. They're all different. We should have a church where there's different people coming in, not just like us. If we're just trying to reach people like us, that look like us, talk like us, dress like us, can I just tell you, we ain't doing what God wants us to do. We ain't even close to it. That's not what His Word says. Matter of fact, it says in Matthew 28:19, it says, go therefore and make disciples of people that look like you. That ain't what it says, is it? What does it say? It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. All nations. Isaiah 49:6 says, I will make you a light for the nations that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. Is your light shining? What's that little song? This little light of mine, I'm going to make it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. When we walk around, people all know there's something different about you. There's something different. What's different about that person? There's a light, there's a glow about them. We can say it like this. The face of God shines on us so that the flame of God can shine through us. So that the flame of God can shine through us. I was, I forget where I was going, but I was on a plane. And I was sitting, and all of a sudden this guy tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, sir. And I turned around and said, yes, sir. He said, are you a Christian? And I said, yes, sir, I sure am. And he said, I could tell. That's all he said. I could tell. I hadn't said anything. I hadn't talked to anybody else. He said, I could just tell. And you know what? That, them just couple words made all the difference in my life. I could tell. I could tell. Let all the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the people with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Selah. Remember in Matthew 17, I believe it is, when Jesus went up on the mountains and He was transfigured? He had a glow about him. Right? You remember Moses on the mountain? God said, you can't look at me in the face, but you can look at my backside. And he put his hand over. There was a glow. They should be a glow about us. You know why? If you have accepted Christ, truly accepted Christ, not just say, well, I know who Jesus is, because the devils know who Jesus is, but they're not going to heaven. But you've got to confess your sins, and then you have to repent. That's salvation. Not just believing in Jesus, but confess and repent. Then the Holy Spirit comes into us and dwells in us. There should be a difference about us. There should be a difference about us. The Holy Spirit is in us. Now we should see the provision of God for His people when we put God's priorities first in our lives. In other words, let me say it like this. We see in verse 6, it says, the earth has yielded its increase. God made it clear throughout the Old Testament that obedience leads to blessing. Obedience leads to blessing. Look at Leviticus. Let's see what it says. Leviticus 26. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. What does it say? If you walk in my statutes, if you do what I want you to do, not what you want to do. See, what happens is that we're so self-centered. We want to do what we want to do. And a lot of times, we don't want to do what God wants us to do, because it's not comfortable a lot of times to do that. And we want comfort. Have you ever watched any of them old westerns, you know, where they had no electricity, you know, and they're in there cooking? My wife and I watched one last night. Was it last night or this morning? Anyway, they was cooking. No, it was Little House on the Prairie. And they was cooking, you know, and she made a comment. She said, you know, she said, they're always cooking stew. She said, there's, you know, either rabbit stew or squirrel stew or possum stew. They're always cooking stew with a little bit of bread. That's all they had. Things were simple back in them days. And they, you know, on Sundays, they would hitch up the wagon and probably drive, you know, 45 minutes to an hour just to get to the church house. Huh? And then when it's raining, the guy had to go out there and put the tarp on the wagon so they wouldn't get wet. But they went to church. And now we got cars. All we got to do is turn the key on there and put it in pack, drive in an air-conditioned car or heated car and come and sit in a church with pews, and we can't get nobody to come. Something's wrong. Look at the world. Look at what's going on. Look at the flood that just happened in Nepal. Horrible. What does the Bible say about it? There's a lot. Look at all the wildfires going on. Listen, it should wake us up, because Jesus is coming. There's never been a time in history where it's like now. Never. And Jesus said that the time will come when it's like Noah's days and Lot's days. Now, you may not believe in the rapture. I don't know what you believe. But the Lord took Noah out and put him in that boat before he sent the flood. Jesus saved Lot before he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He took them out. And I believe he's going to take the church out before he destroys this place. We need to be ready. And how many people is going to be in heaven because of what you have done? How many people is going to stand before God because you have talked to them and led them to the Lord? That's how I got my call in the ministry. I was horrible. I'm not going to tell you my background, but I was horrible, horrible, horrible person. And when God saved me, it was just like, wow. And I got a vision. And the vision was hell. And there was people being thrown into hell. And I heard this voice says, who could you save? Who could you say? That spurred me on to get into ministry. To speak to as many people as I can. To witness to as many people as I can. So that they will miss that horrible place called hell because it's real. Got off on a rabbit trail, but I'll get back on. Blessing. If we want God's blessing, we must be doing God's work that He has given us to do. So the question is are you? Let's remember that every gift God gives us is meant to extend His glory. I believe God will fill our tanks to get us out to do His work. I mean, some people heard that I had this heart procedure on Friday. So, well, you probably won't be there. I said, I will be there with bells on. I'll be there with bells on. Because God has filled my tank. I feel great. I feel good. My head stopped up, but I feel good. My body feels good. Devil ain't going to hold me back. Haggai says this. This is what happens when we don't put God first. Okay? And then I'm getting real close to closing. It says, you have sown much and harvested little. You have eaten, but you never have enough to drink. But you never have enough to your fill. I mean, you harvest little, you eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so and puts them into a bag with holes. That's what happens. You say, well, God, why ain't you blessing me? Why ain't you doing, what are you doing for him? What are you doing for him? Let me say it like this. If we put our purposes above God's priorities, we will never get what we are after and what He wants us to have. He wants us to be blessed. God wants to bless you. Only God can satisfy your soul. No one else can. No one else can. Have you ever heard this phrase? Well, I'm busy. I'm busy. I'm too busy. I'm too busy to go to church. I'm too busy to pray. I'm too busy to witness. Listen, if your busyness keeps you from God's business, then something's wrong. Something's wrong. I know I need to be constantly revived and recalibrated. Constantly. We are blessed in order to bless the ends of the earth. The last part of verse 6 and 7. Instead of checking things off my bucket list, I need to empty that bucket. Give it to God. Here are some things that you can do as I close. Pray Psalm 67. I mean, you can pray it every day. You can pray it, you know, once a week. But I would strongly urge you to pray it. Invite at least one person to church every week. One person every week. Yeah. One person every week. You don't grow a church if you don't invite. You don't grow a church if you don't invite. Some need to commit to giving. Our little church in Conyers and Teresa can vouch, we never had a giving problem. We never had a problem paying the bills. I mean, God provided. God provided. And we had a pretty good budget too. They even paid me. We paid Scott. We paid a couple more people too, didn't we? You know, to do things and stuff like that. And God just was so good to us. Bless someone with what God has blessed you with. Some of you have compassion. So bless somebody with the compassion that God has given you. Someone needs your compassion today. Someone needs your strength. Someone, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Tell somebody your testimony. They need to hear it. You need to say it. You need to say it. Pray about going on a mission trip. I'm praying about that too. Going back, doing something. I'd like to go back to Kazakhstan. See what the church is doing there that we help put together. Befriend somebody from a different culture. Someone that don't look like you, don't talk like you. Strike up a conversation with them. And here's one that I love. Do a prayer walk around your neighborhood. Get three people. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the reason I do that. Get three people to go with you. Walk around. You can knock on doors. I'm a door knocker. Yes, my wife. I love knocking on doors. I don't care if strangers. That when we went to Kentucky, this little church that I took over, they had like 14, 15 people there. So I said, first thing we're going to do is we're going to go in the neighborhood. So I think there was five of us that committed to go, and we went out there and we started knocking on doors, talking with people, praying for people. Guess what? Some folks started coming to church from that. And then the people that started coming started inviting other people to come to church. And before long, I mean, we had tripled in size. It doesn't take long. You just got to be committed to do it. Listen to this as I close. How many times have I said that? Three times, four times? Revelation 7 says this. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.